After a few quick attempts to get the Millennium series started and standing apart from its Heisei counterparts, producer Shogo Tomiyama decided to tap Gamera director Shusuke Kaneko to reboot Godzilla once more. But will an all-new mystical origin story that fundamentally rewrites the underlying pathos of the kaiju be enough to interest fans new and old? Find out as we take a deep dive into one of the longest titles in this podcast's history. This is Kaiju vs. History, Godzilla, Mothra, and King Ghidorah, Giant Monsters, All Out Attack.
Welcome back to Kaiju versus History. This is your wide-eyed and spiky-tailed antagonist, Patrick, here. And joining me is an adorable kaiju contemporary left out of the title, Miles.
Hey!
Baragon is in this movie, and I hate that he doesn't make it to the title.
I do, too. It's like, and I helped.
He's easily the best part of this movie, right?
I mean, I love Baragon in this movie, and it's cool that they use a creature from Frankenstein Conquers the World.
Yeah, and Destroy All Monsters. You know, he was technically in a Godzilla movie as well.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
I guess technically,
made a new suit and it's really ugly.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Very cute. We'll talk about it. But do you remember when the last time we had four different kaiju fighting in the same movie, Miles? It's been a while.
It has been a while. Did it happen in the Heisei era?
If you count Mogera, the ship in versus Space Godzilla, yes. If you don't, I think the last time was 1974's Godzilla versus Mecha Godzilla.
Yeah, so that's the thing, because I mean, it's the same as not really counting Mecha Godzilla as a kaiju. Like it's a featured actor. Well, depending on the version of Mecha Godzilla, yes.
But this one, the Heisei. Or the Showa one felt very much like a kaiju because, you know, it's
aliens. It has a personality, but the one from the Heisei era is certainly just a mech.
Well, Mogera in that is, yes, I'm just saying. But that one, you know, if you count Mogera, technically was. But it's very rare outside of the Showa era to have this many kaiju fighting, and some of them at the same time, you know, doing multiple attacks. It felt kind of Showa era in that way.
Yeah, and I mean, I kind of miss having big old monster mashes. So it's yes. Nice to have this again, and it won't be the last time in this era.
Oh no! Of course, we are looking at Godzilla, Mothra, and King Ghidorah: Giant Monsters All Out Attack, Toho's 2001 film, the third in the Millennium series, directed by Kaneko, as you mentioned in the intro. It's written by a couple of his collaborators, Hasegawa and Yokotani, and special effects is by another Gamera collaborator in Makoto Kamiya. This movie, Miles, is often considered one of the better Godzilla films, one of the most beloved by Godzilla fans, and All it took was indeed getting about half of the creatives behind the Heisei Gamera series to boost it, to put it over the edge, to make it what it is.
So yeah, this is a movie that has, I think in Japan, was pretty acclaimed. When it came here, it was mixed, and I feel like certainly the Western audience has taken longer to come around this movie, I think, because we didn't get them as immediately.
Well, we'll talk about it later, but I was surprised that the online rankings of it were as low as they were. And, you know, because we're going to rate it fairly high, but
I a lot of these online lists that I've been seeing since Minus One came out are extremely suspect.
I was mostly talking about your aggregate audience.
Oh, okay. Because I was like, half these are done to like either someone, either champions a personal favorite, or someone just wants to get people yelling and talking about their arguments.
I really feel like the common knowledge is this is the best of the Millennium series, and as such, one of the best Godzilla movies. You know, just point blank.
It had been a while since I had watched this one. And it's another one where, like, I did not rewatch any of the Millennium movies before or after we started this podcast, because I just wanted them to be as fresh as possible in terms of, like, my experience. There are some we'll get to in this era that I have watched many times. And so this is one that I remember watching, 15 years ago, maybe.
Oh, yeah.
And liking. Mm-hmm. But I don't remember being like, oh, yeah, that was one of the best ones. Because and we're going to talk about it, because there are some things that have become certainly more often now than I feel like they used to be. Although I have seen some old reviews that have made similar complaints, but they've been echoed a lot in the last 10 years, ever since the MonsterVerse. Well, it's 10 years.
Yeah.
And I think this movie is a good argument against a lot of these criticisms, and we're going to get to that, because I will say I'm going to be curious to how this conversation goes. I do like this movie, but I don't place it as highly as others, but I think this is a really interesting movie. And yes, the fact they got Kaneko to do a Godzilla film is, I mean, it's kind of a pro gamer move on one end. On the other end, it's like, yeah, we recognize that our competition freaking knocked it out of the park.
Yeah, critically really trounced them in the 1990s. And yeah, if what they say is true, you can't beat them, join them, or make them join you. bring them over. I mean, Gamera series was done in 1999. And the following year is when they started the conversations about this film in the year 2000.
Yeah, and before we get into all that, Patrick, tell me, what's in a title? Because this is a mouthful. It's affectionately called by an abbreviated title, but
is this the longest title we will ever have? That's the question. I think. Yeah, I don't know if there's one that can beat it out. I mean, honestly, Godzilla Kong New Empire is getting close, but that's not even
it's still not there. Nah.
There was a Japanese film called Yuzu, the Biggest Battle in Tokyo, which, you know, that's six words in the title. But yeah, not many can top this. Oh, you know what? God Rega versus King Oga, War of the Monsters is pretty close. That's a 2019 Rega film.
Yeah, I mean, this is
I'm just looking similar through our list. I'm like, what could be equal to this?
I mean, this is similar in that it's like naming the monsters and then giant monsters all on attack.
Yeah. This is a naming convention, though, that has been in a lot of Japanese films. So this one is Gojira, Mojira, King Ghidorah, Daikaiju, Soku Geki. And
I think what's most surprising to me is that it keeps that convention in the English title, because we don't often.
Yes. Yeah. Well, now we're in the time period where not many of these films get theatrical releases in the US. So it was filed in the copyright office in the US under a few different names, one of them being the exact translation, and another, Godzilla versus the Guardians, which I think is also a really good name if you want to shorten
it. I like that. I think the only reason that title doesn't work is because the Guardians are some of the most recognizable monsters in cinema history.
Yeah, well, but you also have the problem of you are leaving out Baragon, which is not the most recognizable. It doesn't have the marquee fame. And so it's a little confusing. But yeah, I do enjoy some of the other titles from around the world. Came out in Mexico under a couple different titles, including Godzilla Against the Giants. So very similar to the U.S. patented name, The Invasion of Godzilla, and in Tokyo, The Great Battle of Monsters. Perfect. You know, it's awesome.
I like The Invasion of Godzilla. That's a good one.
GMK is the abbreviation that we're going to be using from here on out, because it is, I mean, I have to take a drink halfway through saying the normal title.
No kidding.
Although it really should be, I mean, GMKG, if we're being honest, or if you want to be inclusive, GMKB, Justice for Baragon.
I mean, look, I love that big floppy moron so much in this movie.
when it was brought over for U.S. Video and DVD release, the suggested title from Sony was Godzilla Must Be Killed, which It's also okay.
It's fine. Yeah. I mean, honestly, Godzilla versus Guardians, I like. None of these titles are spectacular. I think the invasion of Godzilla is pretty cut and dry. I like that one a lot.
I think one of the problems with this film not getting the recognition it deserves, it doesn't have a title that really pops and is memorable for a lot of folk. You know, if most of the fandom knows it as just GMK, you know, well, I mean, I guess that does speak to the quality of the film, that people still kind of recognize it by three letters. But
yes,
also, it is not good, I think, in some other ways.
No, and I mean, this franchise has, outside of, you know, its versus stuff, has never been one for the best titles of all time. This movie does feature, in a franchise that has a lot of great leading ladies, Taro Niyama is phenomenal as Yuri Tachibana. I loved her in this movie. I thought she was phenomenal.
Yeah, there's a lot of awesome actors in this film. Actually, you know, doing the research, a lot of singers and people from kind of like the pop music world that Kaneko just kind of tapped to take on these acting roles, you know, for better or worse, perhaps. But she is definitely for better. Yuri is pretty awesome.
Yeah, I was blown away by her. And I mean, she is just, yeah, she's great. And the entire time I was like, I know her from something. And as I look it up, oh, she's in Ju-on the Grudge 2.
Yeah.
So I was like, ah, that's where I know her from. Yeah, and she's in Ultraman Taiga, which I watched for The More You Nerd.
Oh.
And she's great in that, too, because she plays a main character.
Yeah, I think maybe she had worked with Kaneko in some other films as well, but I'm trying, I don't have it in my notes here, so I'm not sure. Because he did do another film, I think right before this, for Toho, which is, you know, one of the reasons that they were very confident that they could trust him to work within their kind of budget and system, is he had done this film called, oh gosh, Pyromaniacs or something similar to that.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the people that he worked with
Crossfire. Sorry, I do have that in my notes.
A lot of people that he worked with do pop up in this, because we do get a pair of twins, one of which was the star of Gamera 3, that I'm guessing was supposed to be just a visual gag to be like, hey,
yes,
the twins, Mothra's coming.
This movie, you can tell. I feel like Kaneko understood that this might be his only chance to make a Godzilla movie for whatever reason, because he injects so many homages, so many references and callbacks. I have a small list of them that can all go into like my favorite parts of the film. And some of them are very small, like the very cool miniature submarine that they have is called the Satsuma, which is, of course, named after the Heisei suit actor for Godzilla, Kenpachiro Satsuma. I love that. That's awesome.
I do love that. And the next one on your list is like one of my favorite moments.
You can talk about this because it's like almost the first line of the movie.
Yeah,
it's
like one of the first out the gate. They're like, oh, the Americans were attacked by a giant monster on the East Coast. And basically like, is that Godzilla? No, it's not Godzilla.
Yeah, they thought it was Godzilla, but they're dumb.
and it won't be the first time that specific like reference comes up in the Millennium series. Like,
yeah, well, this is, of course,
it almost becomes an ongoing joke. We're like, yeah, the Americans thought they had Godzilla, but they're morons.
It's a jab at Triceratops 1998 Godzilla, which Shusuke Kaneko has gone on record a few times saying he really disliked. He is part of the rabid Godzilla fandom that's like, I cannot believe they did this. Even though there were some elements of this film that I think were kind of taken from the TriStar movie. And
I'm just happy that my boy Takashi Yamazaki agrees with me.
You posted that, I think, online.
On the Discord, that he was recently asked about that movie and was very, very diplomatic, but also said, like, I like it, but it's more of a horror movie and it's not really Godzilla.
Well, he said what we said. It's like, it's a good kaiju movie. It's not a good Godzilla movie. You know, You know what his, I think, favorite Godzilla movie is, Miles?
We're talking about tonight, baby.
It's GMK, yeah. And
because he even talks about how that movie was subconsciously in his head. And like when you watch the end of this movie, you're like, oh, of course.
There are so many references. Yeah. But, well, I mean, spoiler warning for Godzilla Minus One, everyone, they have the exact same ending.
Yeah.
The exact same. And I don't think I remembered this ending from the last time I watched this movie.
I didn't either.
It was such a joy, like the exact same Akira Ifukube musical sting at the end, the same kind of shot composition of the heart.
I love the score of this movie in general, but I also pick up that like the score was also hitting the melody in a different key and stuff in different parts of the movie where it was like playing electronic music. But like when you listen to the actual progression of the notes, you're like, that's the Godzilla theme song.
Kao Otana did the music for this film. He also did all the soundtrack for the three Heisei Gamera films, which are great. I love them. I think they're a little more traditional in some ways, whereas I feel like this one was an interesting evolution of Godzilla music and good, but in a different way than the Gamera soundtrack. This has got a great soundtrack. He's also very well known for doing the music in the video game Shadow of the Colossus.
Yes.
I gotta imagine a bunch of other video games as well, but who knows? Some of the other things, there's a poster of the Lucky Dragon, which is the real life fishing boat that was irradiated off the coast of Japan. That was the kind of inspiration for the original 54 Gojira. And yeah, you already mentioned one, which is the actresses Ai and Aki Maeda, the, like you said, the main character from Gamera 3 and her real life younger sister, I think. So they look very similar. I don't think they're twins, but they are dressed the same in the shot.
I think they kind of are.
Well, they're dressed the same in the shot to evoke as Mothra flies over.
They're not.
Yeah, they look very similar.
They do.
That's great.
I love that shot. It's a great looking shot too.
And then maybe my favorite shot of the film is the recreation of the mountain shot from the 1954 Gojira film, where it's this much creepier looking Godzilla and popping his head over the side of the mountain. But instead of just like kind of screaming and having it be that puppet head, which I did not like in the original Gojira, this Godzilla just trashes the mountain, just like absolutely destroys it, which is so good. I wrote it here in the notes. So good.
Oh yeah, no. Godzilla is like full on like dickhead mode in this movie.
I mean, this is the most evil really he's ever been.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. You don't get the feeling that this is a force of nature. You feel the intent, and they do a great job of like, despite like I like the concept of what they're doing. They take basically the concept of the ghost Godzilla that they had played with before and make him more of a possessed Godzilla, including whiting out his eyes. And really, I love the design of this suit, because even the suit feels like it's black and white.
It is one of my favorites. It's top five Godzilla suit, bar none, for sure.
It's an incredible looking suit. Whiting out the eyes, like, give it this element of evil that Godzilla has never had and hasn't had since.
He's just creepy to look at too. It's so effective, and it's so funny.
He's scary in this movie.
They really haven't decided to like try that again, really, in a lot of ways.
To making Godzilla scary in the newest film, but like in a different way.
Yeah. Well, that one is just so much more a monster reacting, whereas this one is a revengeful, vindictive kind of ghost coming to haunt Japan. And
so let's talk a little about the historical context. I know you got some stuff lined up for this, because I feel like this movie, like, I love the intent. I feel it's a little clumsy on communicating that.
Yeah, so this Godzilla is perhaps another Godzilla that has risen, because I think this does take place in a universe where the 1954 original Gojira was killed, was destroyed by, you know, a scientific device, just like in the original Gojira. But it has come back, and probably because just like in Godzilla Minus One, it's probably indestructible in some way. But yeah, the plot of this one is that Godzilla's mystical power has now been fused with the evil, not of the atomic bomb, but of Japan's war crimes during World War II, the atrocities, the horrors that the government of Imperial Japan inflicted on its neighbors and its citizens during that time period, and even further back, you know, in the subjugation of
which Korea. Is certainly a theme in Godzilla Minus One. So again, I see the connective tissue here.
Yeah. Yeah, well, so Godzilla Minus One really does put that onus on the government, and there's a very strong anti-government. But just like Godzilla Minus One and its kind of peaceful preaching, Shusuke Kaneko is also kind of a huge lover of peace. So I think it was really picked up in Yamazaki's film as well that they really couldn't just like sweep World War II under the rug. That there were so many terrible things that, you know, just so, too many crimes to list in like an hour and a half episode of this podcast, Miles. But I mean, it's crazy that I feel like Germany, no one is ever going to forget what Germany did, but there have been a staggering number of nationalists that have tried to rewrite Japan's history with kind of a revisionist aim to do exactly that, sweep it under the rug, you know. And it's so interesting this came out in the early 2000s, because there were around that time a lot of people putting out books and materials trying to downplay the estimates, the death estimates and death tolls. But like, because of murder, genocide, neglect, starvation of both prisoners of war and its people, just during World War II, it's suspected that there's somewhere between 3 and 10 million deaths that can be put on Imperial Japan, which is staggering, right?
Yeah, that's insane.
Just at the rape of Nanking, which is one of these places that they try to revisionist history, it's estimated in the course of a few weeks, like a month and a half, there were almost 250,000 people killed and half as many raped in the villages there. It's beyond, like, the Wikipedia page for Japan war crimes. Ooh, it is quite a read. The fact that this is what is powering this Godzilla is so terrifying, so disturbing.
Well,
this is like worse than anything that has shown up in the Gamera series.
And that's the thing that I don't think really gets communicated, is that if I'm seeing the intent correctly, it's the souls of the people who were killed by Imperial Japan in their war crimes.
Yeah, getting revenge.
Getting revenge, but also because the movie makes it sound like, oh, it's because people forgot.
Yes.
And this is where I struggle a little bit, because like again, when we sit down and talk about what is happening, absolute grand slam of a concept. This is terrific, A++, 10 out of 10 concept. I think something gets, and maybe it's the localization, maybe it's the translation that you know we're working with on these old Sony Blu-rays, but I don't think it's clearly communicated, in at least in the subtitle version, that is exactly what's going on. And because it's also, you know, this information's kind of been given to us as we've seen that like a bunch of hoodlums are kind of running rampant across Japan, and like
Shusuke Kaneko does not like teens.
No, like this this movie very felt like F them kids. And so it seems like, oh well, you know, because Japan has lost its way, the souls of the dead are fueling this Godzilla to remind them. And that's where I think a little bit gets lost in translation. I may have missed something if I looked away at some point, but I don't think the idea that like the war crime souls are fueling this creature to take revenge on Japan.
There are a lot of ideas in this movie, because it's not just Godzilla being the embodiment of their vengeance. There are also three guardian spirits, very similar to the way that the Gamera and Iris are depicted in Revenge of Iris, as kind of like diametrically opposed ancient forces. Three spirits that are set up to guard Japan. or maybe
Here's the cool thing. In the same way that I don't think they communicated exactly what Godzilla's what's going on with Godzilla, I think they really communicate very well how the Guardians work, because they're not defending Japan as a nation of human beings. They are defending the land from this creature. And that's a very different concept. And I thought that was really, really cool. And we get our first good guy Ghidorah.
Good guy Ghidorah is so odd. The movie ends with our main characters saluting like King Ghidorah's corpse, you know, like, thank you for your service. And it's like, what? How? Obviously, we'll talk about the history of how this came to be, but it's so weird that the team up is Mothra, Ghidorah, and Baragon, you know?
Like, it's just
seems like, yeah, if they were going for like the top three, it would be Rodan or maybe even Anguirus in there. It
greatly bothers me that Rodan is not in this movie. As much as I am excited to see Baragon in this movie,
They wanted like a tunneling kaiju, so it could be earth, air, and water.
Baragon, he lives in a mountain. He did some stuff.
He's the earth kind of defender. For some reason, Mothra is the water defender. Because it nested in the water and came out of the water.
Sure, why not?
It doesn't really sit right with me, because King Ghidorah takes over the Guardian of the Sky, and it's like, that really should be Mothra's domain.
Well, they're both flying monsters.
That's the thing. There shouldn't be two flying monsters. I don't know. But they were very impressed with Shusei Kaneko's Gamera series, of course, if not the box office, which sometimes was comparable with Heisei Godzilla. They were impressed that he was able to do so much with usually a much smaller budget than most of the Godzilla films. And he was given a lot of creative freedom when they brought him on for this project. Like I said, producer Tomiyama was a big fan of 2000's Crossfire, which was a Toho production. And the original idea that Kaneko pitched to Toho was Godzilla versus the mantis kaiju Gamacarus. That was his son.
That would have been fun, I guess.
Kaiju. It was shot down because they had just finished Mega Gyrus was about to come out. So they're like,
you don't need another bugs. Yeah, that's true.
Although I would have loved to see a Millennium Gamacarus. So there were a few ideas pitched about, but the one that stuck with Toho was Godzilla going up against some old foes and taking on Baragon, Anguirus, and Varin. He wanted to put Varin in the movie. Miles,
I'm all because Varin popped up in something not too long ago. Conceptually, I'm all about giving Varin some love.
So that would be like, I don't know if one of those would be water as well, but I imagine Varin would be the sky guardian. But they're all three monsters that kind of have dinosaur or dragon-like qualities, because the guardians are supposed to be like ancient kind of Chinese dragon elements, which you see a lot in the design of our new friendly King Ghidorah. But yeah, that was shot down because obviously Toho was like, nobody knows who Varin is. We're not using Varin. That's a terrible idea. So they said that they can
let him cook.
They said you could do the picture in that plot if you added in the big marquee names of course, Mothra and King Ghidorah. And supposedly Kaneko sat in the Toho offices for, and this is from an interview in Fangoria, sat in there for 15 minutes in silence thinking about it. And he's like, finally, he's like, yeah, I can make that work. So he was given a lot of creative freedom in the writing of the project, except I feel like for that element he had to have been told, no one's gonna come and see Godzilla beat up Varin.
I 100% will, like, justice for Varin.
But this kind of works because it's basically the same plot as Ghidorah the Three-Headed Monster, the 1964 movie, where a trio of kind of weaker kaiju go on to take on a physically bigger, but a more imposing figure. This time, Godzilla is the bad guy that the three have to take on. Whereas in the original Ghidorah, it was Rodan, Mothra, and Godzilla teaming up, which is
great. I mean, the thing is, like, in that one, just Geeter's just an evil dude. Like this one has intent. Like Geeter just comes into like knock over your Legos, you know, just because he's a jerk. So yeah, I like the cut of his jib. I do agree that like to get your real like your actual like guardians, you probably needed more than just Anguirus, Varen, and Baragon. On that, I do agree. But at the same time, like I would have loved to see a new Varen. That would have been so sick.
Yeah. I mean, I would have liked it as well. But yeah, the idea was three weaker kind of villains that, you know, I mean, King Ghidorah dies like twice in this movie.
Three times, I think.
He keeps getting absolutely wrecked. Oh, yeah. Three times. You're right. He comes back twice. Gets the one up power up from his buddies.
They also talk about how like Ghidorah is not finished cooking. Like he's supposed to like form after 10,000 years, and it's only been two, because he's also supposed to have like eight heads and he only has three.
Yeah, this is closer to the Japanese myth of Orochi, which of course had the eight heads. So this isn't the King Ghidorah we know. Of course, this is kind of in name only.
And honestly, I like the design of this Ghidorah. I like the heads; they look good.
Absolutely my favorite King Ghidorah design, like maybe rivaled by the MonsterVerse version, which is, I have a giant, you know, toy up on my desk over here, but
this
one is so cool. I like the reduction in size. I like the chunkier version of him. And I think they fix one of my main problems with him is those wobbly necks and heads, you know.
Well, they had kind of started fixing that during the Mothra movies, I feel like.
Yeah. Oh, yes. That's why we love a Death Ghidorah and things like that. Let's talk about the designs just a little bit more, Mile. We're kind of there. Of course, they did kind of switch up our main man in the Godzilla suit this time around is Mizuho Yoshida, who worked with Kaneko in Attack of Legion. He's one of the two men in the titular alien invader of that film. We also saw him last, I think, in Rebirth of Mothra 2 as Dagra. So he's worked in both Toho and with Daiei. They originally were going to have, I think, the suit actor Kitagawa, who was in Godzilla's suit in versus Megaguirus, but because of the change of the suit, it didn't quite fit him. So they had to go with, I think, with a taller actor, because Godzilla, this is the tallest Godzilla suit, I think, ever, by the way. And part of that is because the original design was to have it more hunched over, kind of like the TriStar Godzilla, kind of like down closer to the ground and not fully upright, which I think would have been interesting. It definitely would have been a change. But we've already talked about the GMK Goji suits. Love it.
So good.
And we talked about King Ghidorah, which outside of the CGI version of him, I really enjoyed the suitimation. What did you think about this version of Mothra? Because we got some changes to Mothra's design here.
I like it. Mothra's kind of hard to mess up for me. There's
it's a different. It's got like a big behind stinger in this version, which I don't know if it makes it look more imposing. They kind of do something similar with the legendary Mothra, but it's
right.
I don't know if I like it. It really creeps me out when it's kind of like a wasp.
I like the Mothra look in this. I mean, it's Mothra looks pretty good. Unfortunately, doesn't have as much screen time as she should, but I do like that they give, you know, that significance that she's always had, which is like typically sacrificing herself to, you know, empower somebody else.
Yep. It's a classic Mothra move.
So yeah, I like it, but I mean, obviously the standout design other than Godzilla really is our new Baragon.
It's both one of the ugliest and one of the cutest kaiju ever.
Yes.
I absolutely love design. I love the big ears. I kind of wish we had some more powers like the horn blasting energy rays or whatever, but this is suitmated by Rie Ota, one of the first, or actually the first female suitmator in any Godzilla movie, of course, we Kaneko had worked with smaller female suit actors in the Gamera series, but I love Ryota. She's great. Normally, I don't think quadrupedal kaiju suits really work very well, but just the way that she was able to manipulate it, I believed it 100%. And
yeah, I thought the work in, especially for Baragon, was great.
That fight, that first fight is so good. It's one of my favorites, I think, in the Millennium series.
It's Baragon a good
getting whipped all over the place.
It's good. I mean, also, like, she gives, because I think even someone's like, oh, it's cute, and like tries to take a picture with it, and then like Godzilla just comes in and squashes everybody.
It's so good. That's I mean, it, to be fair, like Baragon is like super far away, so it's like, yeah, I can understand them not running immediately, but like that picture is like, it would have been like very teeny in the picture.
Right. But like the way that she carries Baragon, like kind of having like almost like a floppier dog feature, where like, yes, he's kind of like always bobbing his head, and it's got, like, he looks like a puppy, that big, yeah, old eyes. And I love Baragon this movie. It's great.
It's been shared in our Cosmic Crit Discord channel for Kaiju versus History multiple times, but video, behind the scenes video of Ryota pseudomating Baragon, you can hear her inside the suit making to great help with her performance. And it's kind of like a kata, you know, in karate. It's, you know, it really like makes her movements pop.
Yeah, and it's wonderful.
It's amazing. And yeah, like I said, this is one of my favorite parts of this entire movie. And I think that fight also looks, I think, the best. And it's, you know why, it's because there's almost no CGI used for Baragon.
Yeah, which is incredible.
Special effects.
Like, that's what makes it more incredible, because like, because the suit's good enough that you're like, oh, they probably just used a little CGI for this character. No, this was all her.
Unlike Gamera 3, this production, Gamera 3 had a long production period because they kept pushing it back, but it had very limited resources. That movie was done on a shoestring, but this movie had less than a year turnaround time. They completed the script in April and it came out in December, but it had a much larger budget. So they did, you know, use some CGI for some of the flying creatures, King Ghidorah and Mothra, which makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. But they did have a great reliance on practical effects in the film, and especially in some of these battles, these fights. But real quick before we continue on here, I did want to mention that the suit designer for these kaiju, Shinada, was really stoked about Varin potentially, yeah, making a new Varin, and was disappointed when that got cut from the script. But supposedly added in some of Varin's facial features, the fins, into King Ghidorah's head, which I really liked King Ghidorah's head. It's just, it looks like a piece of art. You know, it looks like they really plucked that monster off of like a scroll, an ancient scroll.
So, yeah, let's talk about something. You mentioned the fight with Baragon, which does take place in the day. This movie, I think, one of the chief criticisms about several Godzilla movies, especially kind of post-Sudamation, is that too many scenes take place in poorly lit or at night time frames.
Yeah, we get to the end of the movie and they're at like the bottom of Tokyo Bay in the night time, and it's a lot of CGI, and it's very dark, and it's muddy. It's hard to see what's going on. And
so, while I understand those criticisms, I think a lot of people just kind of have a blanket complaint about that and will kind of be harsher on some movies just because it's there and not because the movie itself is a problem. I saw this a lot during the 2016 film from people. But I think this movie also showcases why that's the case, because there are a lot of daytime shots that I think don't look great because they're daytime shots and because the special effects quite hadn't tackled the issue at the time. Like mm-hmm. this is a weird time in special effects across the board, but it's certainly more so like in Japan than it was in the States, where, you know, the overabundance of CGI was obviously already in full swing. But there was
I was just going to say, they tried for a lot of stuff in this movie. Like, there are a lot of special effects sequences.
And I think some of the daytime shots just don't work for me. They don't look quite right. And not the Baryon fight, but there are certain sequences where there's a rampage or something during the day, and just some of the shots just don't really work. And I think it's just because they couldn't quite get there. Like there are some special effects shortcuts they were using that are fine. They're not bad, because again, I've said many times, special effects being a problem isn't always going to dissuade me from your movie. So long as the story is good. But I was distracted a couple times by some daytime shots in this. I don't know that. I mean, we've mentioned this a couple times in the Heisei era that some of these old tricks just weren't quite working anymore, because you have suits, you have all this stuff, but like sometimes making all these things work in certain shots just doesn't always deliver. And the CGI dust that popped up a lot is a little distracting.
Yeah, it's so funny, because in some ways it's like, well, this is like a huge improvement over the CGI in, say, an Attack of Legion. But it's also kind of, some of the pseudimation and blue screen doesn't work as well as even some of the Heisei Godzilla films.
Right.
It's like, wow.
Especially in the day for me.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I still really like I think one thing that this movie does exceptionally well is its miniature work.
Oh, 100%.
Some of the best, I think, in any kaiju movie. The Yokohama miniature sets towards the end of the movie were reused by Quentin Tarantino for Kill Bill Volume 1. They were supplied by the art director, Miike, and
of course he did. Of course he did.
they stood in for Tokyo when Beatrix is flying in, and I don't think I ever really kind of realized that was a miniature shot. I thought it was like special effects,
I have this weird thing where I haven't rewatched those movies just because I keep waiting for him to put out the whole bloody affair.
Oh man, that'd be great.
I don't know if it's ever going to happen, and I probably just need to suck it up and rewatch them, because I want to watch them so badly, but I refuse to purchase them based off that alone. It's a weird thing that it's like just a weird hill to die on, but like I have been inching closer to doing it just because I want to rewatch them so badly.
I rewatched one last year, and boy, howdy, it's so good. It's so good. But so we've talked about some of the special effects. I think Shusuke Kaneko, like I said, really swung for the fences directing this film.
There are so many great shots. I think he absolutely has a solid eye. Mm-hmm. For doing certain things. I also love like the concert of working with this movie doesn't just refer to prior Godzilla movies. There is a great little Jaws reference at the beginning of this movie, because the movie does like they don't one for one it, but they do the dun-dun.
Oh yeah.
Dun-dun.
Yeah, I think that does that come dun-dun. Up in Final Wars as well, but
I think it does, but they played a lot more subtly. Like it's not, because it's not using the one for one John Williams music. They're doing their own version of it, but it really works.
Right. So we talked about how this kind of feels a little bit like Ghidorah, the three-head monster, but there's another movie that I feel like Kaneko kind of crib noted a little bit more. And I mean, besides this feeling like just the fourth Gamera movie, thematically and with some of these kaiju battles, this movie reminds me a lot of the Ultra Q movie, Miles.
There
are some scenes that I feel like are shot for shot, like when they're investigating the shrines out in the forest. Mm-hmm. Some of the angles and kind of like the actions felt so much like that. And Kaneko has gone on record saying he loved that series and wish he had gotten a chance to reboot it either in TV or film form. So I felt that, and I was like, that is one of the probably many reasons I really love this film. Do you have a favorite scene, Miles? It's hard.
It is tough. There are so many, and so many are because of Yuri. She's great.
Yes. Played by Chiharu Yama.
Yeah. I think the world of her.
Doesn't really have much else in the kaiju world outside of Ultraman Taiga, like you said, but she was...
Yeah, we talked about her being in G1 The Grudge 2. And yeah. I think she's maintained a modeling and possibly an idol career at some point.
Yeah, I was about to say, she's not a musician, but her father, played by Ryota Uzaki, was from a musical background.
Right. No, she's an idol in that she's a model. Sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't remember the term for starts with a G, but there's a term for it where they're idols, but they're not. We associate idols with being
gravure
pop stars. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Gravure, yeah. But I love this.
Keely from Ted Lasso.
Yeah, exactly. She's all about
selling products. Yeah.
I love the sequence where she's kind of doing the found footage documentary thing, where she's like mm-hmm. on the ground and with her camera and as everything's going on. I love that whole sequence. I love her character. I think she's so good.
This movie is insane because it really is just the two main characters is the father and the daughter. But there are like 50 different cameos and actors in these really small roles that make this movie. And, you know, it's something that we'll see in a couple of Godzilla movies. But, you know, Final Wars, Shin Godzilla also have these huge casts. We haven't even talked about like half of the cameos, but.
Oh, yeah. I think the one problem I have when we're talking about the story, though. Mm-hmm. Is you're right. We do have the father-daughter situation. I think in the first half of the movie, because they're trying to set, there's so much like set pieces they're trying to move around, it does feel a little disjointed, which I think was also a little bit of my problem with Gamera 3. Mm-hmm. Now, in the latter half of the movie, it all comes together beautifully. And especially knowing it's the same guy, I'm like, okay, this is still a little bit of a problem.
Instead of the stone, like the yin yang stone, there's like a mystical rock that is connected to the Guardians.
Right, which does feel a little bit like a little Deus Ex Machina there, because we don't talk about this stone.
I mean, it's kind of a little bit of a MacGuffin in the beginning of the movie, but yeah, it falls out of main character's pocket. Just so happened to be right over the battle, of course, underneath the bridge in Tokyo Bay. Yeah, yeah. I feel like this movie is exactly a product of what it was, which is one of the most creative kaiju directors of the time, given a lot of money in a very short time period to make a Godzilla movie. And to be fair, all the Millennium movies had the same amount of time and, you know, relatively similar budgets. And I think this movie does the most with both of those resources. My favorite scene in this movie is probably the most brutal. There are a lot of kaiju kills in this. I would say it's really on par with Gamera 3, Revenge of Iris. We see a lot of murder, a lot of kaiju murder from Godzilla stomping on people, is atomic breath just like throwing people into the air, and you know, hundreds of soldiers dying in like a second, which is crazy. But absolutely the most brutal murder of any kaiju film is the hospital kill, when Godzilla's tail obliterates the hospital or hospice.
That scene, like I couldn't tell if I was supposed to be just cracking up, because it feels like the punchline of a joke.
It feels a little bad spirited, but it's also, it fits so well with this Godzilla, which is literally an evil spirit, you know?
No, 100%. I fully agree. I completely agree with you, but at the same time, I'm just like,
so
I don't know. I was dying laughing.
Tomo Shinohara, or I think maybe Yamaguchi, when this movie came out, plays the young woman. She was also one of the youth in the Whale Watcher house kind of towards the beginning when Godzilla comes out of the water first. You remember the ping pong scene where these
mm-hmm.
teens or 20-year-olds are playing ping pong? So she survived that, and there is a very brief scene where they show her like being pushed through the hallways of a hospital with like the bandages on. She has less than 3 minutes of screen time, I think, in the entire movie, Miles, but has some of the best performances, you know, her screaming in the hospital and then like thinking she's survived. Godzilla just walked right past the hospital.
Yes.
So good. So good. So it's definitely, I think, the most memorable kill in this series. But yeah, she was another person from kind of the music scene. She was a fashion icon and musician here at the age of 21. And she debuted at the age of 16, 5 years earlier. But it's another example of Kaneko kind of reaching out to non-actors and putting them in the movie. So good. I love that scene. I've watched it multiple times just by itself. And it's every time I'm like, I cannot believe they put this in the movie. All right. Let's talk about some other criticisms for this film. I alluded to it having a fairly low score on your aggregate sites. 78 Rotten Tomatoes audience score, which is actually kind of high for Godzilla. I feel like that puts it fairly high on the list, but only a 7 on IMDb and a 3.6 on Letterboxd, which is like a 7.2.
Those are actually pretty good. 7 on IMDb is a pretty good score.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, a critic score is 65 on Rotten Tomatoes as well. For, like I said, what is considered by many one of the best Godzilla movies. I was surprised by that.
So, and this is one of the reasons why I'm glad we do this show, is especially when this one came out, there is that tendency to like, oh, you only go for these movies for the tongue-in-cheek chuckle. You know, oh, it's a Godzilla movie. We know what we're getting into. Like, no one really approaches these movies with any sort of respect. Certainly at the time, I mean, I know Leonard Maltin was pretty nice to this one. Oh. But a lot of them were like, you know, oh, it's only a good one and embraces its cheesiness and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, no, this is a really good movie that has, even though it's awkward in its presentation of it, like, has a really good story to tell. And I think some reviewers were even like making fun of it for trying to have, and they capitalized it, meaning. And I was just like, look, I mean, these reviewers were definitely not from a time where kaiju movies were looked upon with high regard. Luckily, things have changed and kaiju movies are looked on a lot differently now, which is why I mentioned before, where I think in the last, you know, 15 years, this movie has been completely reevaluated. It's often considered one of the best. And in fact, I think when we talked to Graham Skipper about doing this one, I mean, he
assumed that we would want him on for this film,
right?
Decided against it, and probably for the best, because I feel like that would have been a 3-hour
episode. I respect the hell of him for that. I love that. But yeah, he said, like, you know, he figured that people would want to talk about GMK because it is most people's favorite of the Millennium series, despite the fact that a better film exists. Spoiler warning for a future episode.
We're gonna look at that next week, Miles. Don't spoil it.
What? No, we're not. You shut your mouth. But this one has been reevaluated. I think the right people have seen it. We are looking at kaiju movies with a different lens than American critics were even 22 years ago. Mm-hmm. So I'm not entirely surprised, because the movie internationally got pretty acclaimed. And
yeah, yeah. And so, and Japanese audiences absolutely loved it. This is the best performing, spoiler warning, of all the Millennium films. And I think it actually did better than most of the Heisei era. I'm not sure if, you know, adjusted for inflation or whatever.
Yeah. But, it cost 7 to 9 million and made 20, which for a movie like this is phenomenal.
Yeah. So, I mean, to put it in perspective, Godzilla 2000 and Mega Gyrus did about 10 million each. So it did what both of those movies did combined, bringing in, you know, $20 million US thereabouts. And yeah, that would not be topped until, I think, 2016's Shin Godzilla. I'm just guessing that made more than 20 million. I haven't looked that up.
Shin?
It would not be topped by Toho, I should say.
Well, Shin also had like international theatrical releases. So yeah. Yeah, Shin Godzilla made $78 million.
This is a hugely influential film. We already talked about Takashi Yamazaki loving this, and so many references going into Godzilla Minus One. Another spoiler warning, but like Godzilla using his atomic breath and like beams of energy shooting out of his body shows up in Minus One as well. And the ending the exact same.
Exactly. So one for one. One for one.
Yeah.
The last sequence.
I'm fine. End every Godzilla movie like that. That's totally fine by me. But yeah, I feel like there's a good amount of influence on your Shin Godzilla as well, of course. And the Monsterverse as well, a good amount of the Monsterverse as well, in the fact that these kaiju aren't just like giant monsters. They're elements of nature, you know, like they're here to protect the lands.
Which, I mean, it's an idea that's been toyed with kaiju forever.
Yeah. Yeah. I just feel like this one and your Revenge of Iris really kind of nail this into the kaiju canon more than other films, thanks to Shusuke Kaneko.
I mean, you also forgetting old Mothra and her movies.
Mothra, of course. And, you know, we got, you know, elements of that in Godzilla hating pollution in Versus Hedorah. he hates pollution. So let's talk about our ratings for this movie, Miles.
All right.
You want to start? You want me to start? What do you want?
You can start.
I enjoy this movie a lot. I don't think it's my favorite, but it is of the Millennium era. I think this is my favorite of many of Godzilla's movies, just personally, despite how much I love the next movie. This one is probably better. It's been a couple years since I've gone back and visited against Mechagodzilla. It's very bright and dark at the same time. It has a lot of comedic elements, which is crazy, but it's also objectively like one of the most serious Godzilla movies, you know, in the same time. It's very odd. It really straddles that line. I don't think a lot of other Godzilla movies really try to do, except maybe excluding the recent Godzilla Minus One, which I think toes that line perfectly. But for personal enjoyment, I'm getting a 10 out of 10. I really enjoy this one. It, because it is a standalone movie as well, it is one of the most revisitable films, I feel like, in Godzilla's filmography. I don't know. You know, a lot of people say this is a good one to start people watching. No,
I don't agree
with that. I feel like there's so much different from this film from the other ones. I really would, there's like several others I would choose before this as a first film. But once you've seen two or three Godzilla movies, this should be towards the top of your list. But what about you, Miles? What do you think? Personal
choice? I think this movie is exceptional. I think it is a lot of fun. I mean, look, I love rooting for Godzilla, and this is really one of the few movies where I'm like actively not rooting for Godzilla, because they actually make Godzilla an outright villain. Like, even in Minus One, I think, you know, I'm always like, oh boy, Godzilla's on screen. And even though I feel like Godzilla Minus One kind of takes what this is doing and just kind of elevates it. But I love having an evil Godzilla. I think the design's incredible. I think it acts very different than any other Godzilla, which makes it a refreshing watch. It's fun to mix things up. I think it's got a great cast. Of course, I had, you know, googly eyes over Chiharu Niyama the entire time. I thought she was tremendous.
Top five leading Godzilla.
Without a doubt. Pretty easily.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stand that one pretty hard. But I love all the new suits. I like reintroducing Baragon. I think it's got some great fights. I think, despite being a little clumsy in how it delivers what Godzilla is, I think once you can course correct that by just looking up what they were doing, it delivers its message and its intent pretty hard, even though it very much dislikes the youth, like to a almost like comedic degree.
So many young adults, teens, and 20-somethings getting.
Yeah, like I was like, are we watching a kaiju film? Or are we watching an 80s Jason film? Like,
you know, you joke about that, but
no, there are some setups that are flat out.
Really does feel like a campy horror film in parts.
That's like I said, I get distracted by a couple things. Some of the daytime scenes with some of the monsters don't always work for me. But this is absolutely a top tier Godzilla film. So I'm going to give it a 9 out of 10. I think it's exceptional. I think it's a great time. You have a good time watching it. It's definitely rewatchable. I do take issue with your 10 because you flat out said it's not your favorite. And the personal standard for our 10 out of 10 is favorite.
Yeah,
but looking at it right now.
I gave each Gamera movie a 10 as well out of 10. So, I mean, they're also all my favorite. I would say, I mean, I'll have to go back.
I saw that because I was like trying to figure out how I really felt. And I was like, I'm going to give Patrick a little.
Well, to be honest, going into this one, I really did think that I would have preferred to watch Against Mechagodzilla again, because I love that duology a good deal.
Yeah. But
this movie is just so good. Like I said, I can watch this on its own and really, really have a good time. And like I said, I think part of that is because I love Shusuke Kaneko, like anything he's made in the kaiju sphere.
Well, hilariously enough, his next film is Azumi 2, a sequel to Ryuhei Kitamura's Azumi.
Yeah, so we'll talk about him in the technical aspect here. His directing, I think, is really something special. He also did a horror film in the 90s.
Mm-hmm. Which I very much would like to see.
I forget if it was Dae or Toho, but...
Well, Haunted School 3?
Yes.
That's Toho.
Yeah, I forget if they distributed it and someone else produced it, but yeah, he technically did work with Toho in some capacity for that film. That did very well. That did almost as much business that year as the Godzilla movie did. It did very well in Japanese theaters, so I was interested to see that. So for the technical aspect, I think this film suffers, like I said, a little bit from the special effects, the blue screen. It really felt like two steps forward in some ways in some of the pseudomation and one step back in some of the other non-practical CGI special effects. Outside of the two main characters, most of the other characters in this movie are fairly two-dimensional, like all of the BS studios, you know, other reporters and things like that. It's like, if you go look at the cast for this movie, there are so many people, so many characters, and very few of them have more than like 5 minutes of screen time. So I feel like where this movie excels, though, is some of those quirky cameos and characters who die out quickly. We didn't even mention that one of the best cameos is the main inspector from the Gamera series, played by Yukijiro Hotaru. Inspector Osaka, that he's in the film as a man so dark in the forest trying to commit suicide and stumbles upon King Ghidorah's, you know, I guess icy tomb. it's so funny. Yeah. But yeah, I love all these cameos. I love all the folks they've called back from both Gamera and Godzilla movies. But yeah, this is one of the most fun films, and I think the Godzilla series, it really uses the monsters to a great degree. And I said the miniatures and animation are really great. It really does feel like a fresh take finally on Godzilla. And like I said, it doesn't feel like a standard kaiju movie. It is more closely related, I would say, to an 80s horror movie than a regular kind of kaiju film. Even though the military kind of has the same role in this movie, the JSDF or whatever, as in most kaiju films, they're in like tactical rooms, you know, sending in jets and sending in warships and things. But the kills in this movie really do feel like Godzilla is just like a teen slasher. Mm-hmm. So I'm giving this a 9 out of 10 for the technicals. It's definitely not perfect, but I feel like with the time that they had, this is as close to perfect really as I think the Millennium series gets. The fact that they wrote this in like 2 months or 3 months or whatever is pretty wild. So what about you, Miles?
I'm full agreement with you. I also gave it a 9 out of 10 for the technicals. I think it's a very well crafted movie. I think the new suit designs are excellent. The suit work is excellent. You have some phenomenal actors, both comedic and dramatic, and some actors who play, you know, both well. And I mean, obviously, Chiharu Niyama is that one. My main problems with this movie, I mean, I've already talked about like some of the daytime sequences. Beginning does feel, the script of the beginning of the movie kind of feels a little choppy, and not really to the detriment. Again, this is still a super well crafted movie. It doesn't hurt the movie in a way that like a outright bad job would do. But I do feel the beginning is still a little like, okay, now we're going here. Now we're going here. Now we're going here. Now we're going here. Yeah. We're gonna get everything all together soon, but like we're going all over for a little bit, and it does give me a little whiplash. That said, I think that Kaneko directs the crap out of this movie. The score is fantastic. the script itself is very, very solid. Again, outside that minor quibble, but like everything else just comes together. It ties the room together beautifully. And we get a very, very cool, like, I don't even think we talked that much about the actual monster fights, but you get some really good stuff. You get
Stepping on Baragon's head and tail whipping Mothra out of the sky.
Also brutal kills for the monsters. Almost execution style. Gator gets it three times.
Godzilla's about to destroy a Japanese warship with his atomic breath, and Mothra's like flying in, sneaking in behind him. He turns around last minute, just blasts that stupid moth out of existence. Yeah,
I think the fight choreography is great, especially knowing how little CGI was actively used in the monsters. Now, there's certainly some CGI, like his Gator starts glowing gold and all that stuff. But it's incredible work. So I'm with you. It's a very solid 9 out of 10.
Yeah, and for its importance, I really do think the legacy of this film makes it one of the more important Godzilla films in kaiju cinema history. Its influence on not just other Godzilla directors and films after this, but like just kaiju movies in general, I feel like is pretty massive. As much inspiration as it took from the 25 Godzilla movies that came before it, I really hope it will stand as a big influence in movies to come. Like I said, spoiler for Godzilla Minus One review to come out in a few years. But yeah, it got me going just as well as it did in that movie. The regenerating at the heart of the heart at the bottom of the ocean. I'm sure fans, when they saw this movie in theaters over 20 years ago, also like were so stoked and happy, even though Godzilla is just the worst in this movie. But also in kind of a weird way, also similar to the odd ending of Shin Godzilla. Yeah, so just like all of, like I said, Shusuke Kaneko's Gamera films, I'm giving this a 10 out of 10. Not a perfect 10 out of 10 for this movie, but I'm not complaining one iota about its importance as a kaiju film. But what about you, Miles?
I certainly think this film has a legacy that continues to grow. I think time's going to tell a little bit more on it. I don't put it as high as some of my 10s. I definitely think it's got a great influence. I think it is certainly a movie that is standing the test of time in terms of its enjoyability. I think it does fit the enriching and transformative of in terms of being a kaiju film at the top of its game. I don't quite consider it a divine encounter for a 10, but I think that this is certainly it's top tier Godzilla for sure, and it's a top tier kaiju film. So not quite as high, but I'm still giving it a 9 out of 10. I think it is an incredible movie that deserves its reputation. Time will tell for me on the legacy, because I still feel like this movie is like, yes, it's coming up more in kaiju circles. It hasn't really hit that threshold yet of like the main. I feel like what needs to happen is the Heisei collection needs to come out. And I understand that like that's a rights nightmare, but I feel like that is going to help like fully get people on board with this movie. And I could change my tune, but right now I think it's still in very excellent territory. It's a 9 out of 10. It's a great movie.
You mean the Millennium Collection, or do you also want the Heisei Collection?
Sorry. I want that
both
too.
Are rights nightmares, but
yeah, I misspoke. Yes, a Millennium Collection needs to happen, which I feel should be, I think they're all still under Sony, I think, because they're still selling those Blu-rays, I feel.
Right. Yeah, this one, what did this come out with? This came out in one of those two packs as well.
Yes, because I got all the two packs. The only one that came solo was Godzilla 2000. And I feel like that whole collection needs to be re-evaluated. They needed to do some real loving work on the transfers. Because, I mean, they're passable, but like having watched what Criterion did with the Showa era, like I understand the Heisei era is much more of a nightmare, but like I think the Millennium's all under one umbrella, so they could get something done.
Yeah, I think this was packaged with Godzilla against Mechagodzilla, which I mean, I guess makes sense because they're right next to each other, but it would make so much more sense for the duology to be put together.
Yeah.
But yeah. Right. So that's going to end me with a 9.6, you with a 9. Our podcast final then is a 9 out of 10 for GMK.
Yep, perfectly happy with that.
Godzilla, Mothra, King Ghidorah, giant monsters, double attack. Oh, right. Where can folks find us if they want to talk Millennium series? Because we got three more movies Godzilla in this season, Miles, believe it or not.
You can email us at kaijuversushistory@gmail.com. Tell us about your experience with this movie, when you first saw it, if you've seen it, or if this was your first time. Let us know what you thought. Tweet to us at kaijuversushistory. Visit our website, kaijuversushistory.com. Join the Cosmic Crit Discord and talk to us live in the Kaiju vs. History channel. Check out our Letterboxd account to see all of our reviews and watch our list of films. And then please rate and review our show, comment, share with your friends. Let us know what you think. Patrick, what are we doing next week? I feel like we're going to be on theme.
Yeah, no, tune in next time for more Millennial Series Madness. Millennium Series will continue to pick up steam with yet another new take on the monster, a new take on the original Gojira, as well as Mechagodzilla. So yeah, this is not a versus film, though. Don't call it that, and don't call it a comeback, because next time, tune in for history against Godzilla, against Mechagodzilla. Bomb, 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 bomb. Yeah. Da, 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 da.